Welcome to
Twin Peaks,
The Return.
This is The
Return. Dan and Rob.
I'm Rob.
And yeah, we've returned for another week.
Dan, you could call me Mr. R.
Okay. But you're not going to like what the R stands for.
Uh-oh.
Rude. Mr. Rude.
Dan, so we had a wild time firewalking together.
It's true. Yeah, we firewalked. Felt good.
It felt good.
Actually, no, it felt really bad.
No, it felt good.
No, it felt terrible.
No.
Oh.
You were saying off mic how much you liked it and how much it was, how funny you thought that movie was.
Yeah, I was like, thanks for telling me it wasn't a comedy before we started recording. I hope I didn't lay it on too thick.
And now, but 25 years later, The Return.
We've gone from ABC to the silver screen to, dare I say, something in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's not TV. It's also not HBO. It's Showtime.
It's Showtime, which kind of prestige-y, right?
Sure.
You know, HBO has a reputation of being like the prestige network.
Yeah, but in a very specific sort of way, I would say.
Sure.
You know, like they're always doing one thing, like whatever era it is, the shows are all kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of shows about bad people.
Yep, a lot of shows about bad people. Showtime. They're a little more. What do they got? What's on the Showtime roster here? I was going to say Banshee, but that's Cinemax, isn't it?
Banshee is Cinemax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Obviously. So, let's see. Showtime original series is, of course, Shameless.
Billions.
Your Californications. Your Penny Dreadfuls.
Your Dexters. Your Raid Onavin.
Yeah. Yellow Jackets.
Right?
Did you know that Yellow Jackets was on Showtime? I thought it was on HBO.
I thought it was on ABC. Or maybe Netflix original.
Yeah, you know, it has, ooh, the L word.
Yeah, their most recent hit is Decois.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that The Curse was
also
not
thought,
HBO.
Truly thought that was HBO.
Yeah.
But when you Google Showtime original series, there is Decois.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
You think, I guess Paramount Plus and Showtime are kind of the same thing, right? Or like Paramount Plus and Showtime are owned by the same company or one owns the other or something. Who could, obviously.
I don't know.
But it's different from HBO Max or Max, the one to watch for HBO.
I just saw, I didn't watch the clip, but apparently Conan O'Brien was like being interviewed for something. And I think it was on like Hot Ones or something. The Hot Wing Show. We should eat hot wings into the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Just
eat some hot wings.
Yeah. I'll do that between episodes.
Have you seen the price of wings, Dan? I was at a restaurant the other day and the wings.
The price of wings does sound like a prestige, like an Oscar bait kind of.
It's like what are they?
Glenn Close.
Like a legacy sequel to the show Wings.
Yeah. Have I seen the price of wings? No. How much does it cost to book Paul McCartney and company? And I'm joking. And I'm having fun. Why? What do wings cost now?
They're astronomical. I went to like a pizzeria or whatever, right? And just normal, like they had sandwiches, pizza, that wings. Wings on the menu, market price.
What?
Market
price? That's for like sea bass.
Yeah.
That Wagyu beef is market price. What are we doing?
I don't know. I really don't. We've completely lost it. There's a shortage of wings, and the price of wings has gone up.
That's crazy, man. You know, it's still cheap, and arguably the best part of a chicken, if you're a meat eater.
What's that?
The thigh. Rob, mm-hmm. I made some bone out crispy chicken thighs last night.
Ooh, buddy.
I deboned them myself.
Well, yeah.
These hands.
Just ripping bones out.
Yeah. These hands and this mouth ripping bones out of chicken thighs.
That sounds really good.
I'm telling you.
But we're not going to. What? Next time what?
Next time you're thinking you want wings, get the bigger wing, the original wing.
The original.
The thigh.
You're right. No, I guess the thigh is the bigger wing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, right? Because the wings are arms.
Yeah.
Thighs are legs.
Yeah.
Legs are big arms.
Legs are just bigger arms.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks.
You legs. Heard it here on the Twin Peaks show. So, yes, all this is that we used our bigger arms to firewalk.
Yes.
And here we are over on Showtime. 20, 25-ish years after the original series?
Well, yeah. So it's 20. The show ended in 91. The movie comes out in 92. And The Return comes out in 2017.
So.
So.
If you fudge the numbers, some... you know, creative accounting.
Yeah,
it's 25
pretty
on the nose.
Close.
The prophecy foretold by Laura Palmer.
Wait, I mean, right off the bat, that's very fun that she said, I'll see you again in 25 years. And
they basically nailed it.
They pretty much nailed it. And yeah. So we're talking The Return.
We're back. Back in the PNW groove. But also, well, actually, we are in the New York groove.
We are in the New York
for
groove.
Part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. We'll get into all that business.
Yikes about that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So, different tone than the original show, right?
Yeah. Feels much more like a David Lynch feature.
Yes.
Really sparing on the music,
mm-hmm.
except for like a needle drop kind of thing, right? Like that was very jarring to have like vocal music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. when Mr. C is driving, right? I think that's
yeah,
yeah, yeah. They don't do it in this episode, but I think in all of the other episodes. They all end with a musical performance at the Roadhouse, even if it's not like necessarily connected to like the show or anything. We just like whatever is happening, we go back to the Roadhouse for a musical performance.
Hell yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. And then they like credits play over it or whatever.
Bare Naked Ladies at the Roadhouse?
What? It's been 25 years.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, and we see some old friends here, some very old friends, huh? Some of these guys got old.
I'll tell you what, everybody got old.
Yeah.
Except for, what's his name? Carol, the tall man who,
oh yeah. The giant,
not the tall man. That's of course, Angus Scrimm.
That's right.
Carol Struycken, yeah,
plays the giant.
Yeah, love that he's credited as his character name is just some question marks in the credits of this episode. That was really fun.
Yeah, that is fun. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, look, obviously everybody's getting old.
Sure. Right?
What can you do? It's 25 years, and not to say Cheryl Lee doesn't look fantastic. Of course, she looks fantastic.
Of course.
Of course, she's a damn star.
Right.
But it is weird seeing Laura Palmer in the red room, mm-hmm. but older.
Yes. Was she? Did you jump ahead, Dan?
I started episode two. I did not finish episode two. I maybe watched like 15 minutes of it because I was so taken with episode one.
I know. It's very tricky because, especially with this, and you're like, oh man, we are off to something else entirely. Yeah,
right. And like, really just only raises questions. There's no... Yes.
in the best like sort of possible way. Well,
yeah. You know you're in good hands.
Of course.
You know you're getting answers down the line, and shame on me, I guess. I wanted those answers.
Yeah.
I did get to see the scary man in the jail with Matthew Lillard, though.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like him.
No, no, no.
I didn't like seeing him. Yeah. That better be the last time.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. Oh. Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, no. Lots, yeah, a lot going on in this. I love... Man, so like
Twin
obviously,
Peaks.
Well, yeah, I do love Twin Peaks, but just like this really, this feels like you said, like it feels like a Lynch movie, right? It feels like he's got full control and he's just like doing his thing. And the way that he is like, just sort of like just like dripping out information,
yeah,
and, like scenes and like whatever. Like the pacing is so like
deliberate.
Yes. It's so deliberate. And
but like never feels slow. Like I was struck when the truck pulls into Jacoby's trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is fine.
Yeah,
this
is
completely fine. It's like, first of all, that seems like pretty early in the episode, which helps.
Yeah.
We're just like, you just kind of trust that something is going to happen. And it doesn't really, but it also just like, it looks so good somehow.
Yes. I mean, all of it. Right. I mean, David Lynch is doing it. It's going to look great.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
I was like, that shot specifically, I was really struck that like, this is such a minor thing, but... It's not like a pickup truck with like the sides all around the bed. It's just like a totally flat bed.
Yes.
A flat bed. but like the boxes on it are strapped down off to one side. Like they're not centered on the bed.
Yep.
So that when the truck backs in, you get like a longer view of the bed and there's like more depth to the shot.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't like... interrupt the flow from the foreground into the background. It's man, you're simply not getting that anywhere else.
You're really not. That kind of attention to detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And love all that. Love the pacing of it. I love that we're introduced to like what, you know, at this point seem like
many new characters.
Well, yeah, so many new characters and so many would feel like mysteries with no connection to each other.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
We're in Twin Peaks. We're in South Dakota.
We're in Las Vegas. City.
We're in Vegas?
Or as I call it, Lost Wages.
I think the Vegas stuff is in episode 2, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Damn, my bad. All right. New York, South D... Twin P.
So we're like, you know, the scope is much larger this time around. We're going all over the place here. So yeah. And then it just opens with the giant, right? Talking to one Dale Cooper. Well,
I
take that back. It opens with the scene from the Red Room from the original series,
sure,
with Laura Palmer saying, "I'll see you in 25 years."
And then she does the hand gesture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get the giant and Dale Cooper in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper, you know, Kyle MacLachlan, looking a little bit older, but still looks, you know, dashing.
Naturally. Not as dashing as he's going to look. In a later scene.
Yeah. And
once they you know, really let him when he goes rock and roll style.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. When he's Mr. C.
Yeah, Mr. C.
Of course. When he's like was that Fonzie who calls Richie's dad?
Hey, Mr. C.
Yeah. Wow, this is sort of like the singularity of Fonzie and Richie Cunningham's dad, huh?
It is. It really is, yeah.
Gray hair, but also leather jacket. Arthur, you can stay in our garage, right? That's where he lives in that show.
It is. And then, right, wasn't Henry Winkler putting it to Mrs. C?
To Mrs. C?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was fucking Mrs.
He
C.
Was he was cucking.
Yeah, I think he was laying it down with her.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
Outside of the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant it was like a storyline that Arthur Fonzarelli destroyed cucking. Yeah.
On this like, you know, mostly wholesome show or whatever, and
yeah,
like, and this is the season after they jump the shark, literally. There's a whole cuck storyline. Oh boy. So
they should do a the return season of that show.
Oh yeah,
everybody's dead.
Right, Henry Winkler's still around.
Henry Winkler. Yeah, I guess the two main guys, the two who count. And Chachi. Get Chachi back in the mix.
Oh, he's got a whole fucking...
He could bring some really interesting sort of political insights to the program.
Dude, besides him being like some right-wing fucking nut job, I saw something where... It was two of the actors from Charles in Charge, Nicole Eggert and the young boy who was on the show. I don't know his name. But they recently like came out with the story about how he used to like just abuse the shit out of it. Like the young boy, he would just constantly call homosexual slurs in front of everybody and like just really like destroying him in front of everyone. And then with like Nicole Eggert, he was constantly like sexually harassing her and shit.
That is so insane.
Yeah.
To be Ralph Macchio and think you have any right to treat people that way.
Well, he's not Ralph Macchio. Macchio's a nice boy.
Apparently. Who's on that? Why'd you bring this up?
You said Chachi.
Isn't Ralph Macchio Chachi?
No, that's
Chachio?
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio, they're the same guy. You got to give me that one. No.
Ralph Macchio is one Karate Kid. Scott Baio is...
They're both Italian child stars.
They are.
And monsters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and yeah, Scott Baio was Chachi, and then Ralph Macchio was in The Outsiders as a greaser, right?
I appreciate what you're doing here.
That's the connection.
Thank you. Okay. Well, Scott Baio, you're on my list of naughty Italians. Naughty showbiz Italians.
Yeah, yeah. That list keeps growing.
Mm.
So, what are we talking about? Chachi and... oh, yeah, yeah. Rewind, Mr. C, right?
Well, we're not even there yet. We're still in the
black
and white room.
The giant, right? He's sitting there and he's talking to Agent Dale Cooper, and he says, "It is in our house now, and it cannot be said aloud now." And till he says 430. Richard and Linda, two birds, one stone. And then Cooper says...
Of course,
says,
he's talking about Richard and Linda Thompson,
yeah,
the Irish folk duo.
Yes. Yeah, right. Okay. I want to see the bright lights tonight.
Yes.
Classic song.
What a banger, huh?
Oh, it's so good.
Okay. Anyway, what does Cooper say? What does Cooper say?
Oh, and Cooper... I mean, this is the kind of shit I love.
Oh, I laughed. Is this when he says, I understand?
Yeah.
Shut up, bitch. No, you don't.
I love it so much.
Oh, then by all means, enlighten us. Do tell what you understand, you lying biatch. Agent Dale Biatch.
Yeah. The giant just spouts off, like, you know, he throws a bunch of what seem like random, you know, just sort of non sequitur, just nonsense.
Yeah.
And Cooper just being like, I understand.
This is like, this is like an even more intense version of what's her name in Firewalk with Me, the in the red dress, making the lemon face, wearing the blue rose. Oh, yeah, yeah.
His mother's sister's girl.
Yeah. Yes.
Forget her name.
It's the same sort of thing, except there's no real payoff. He just says, I, you know, we're simpatico, taps his nose.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I think that's so funny because it's like one of the first lines of the show. And it, like the giant says his lines. And as the viewer, you're like, I am lost already. I don't understand. And Cooper's like, I understand.
He's like, yeah, Cooper's like, you're the only one because this is all making perfect sense to me. But you know what? I guess if I sat in the Black Lodge for 25 years,
you might pick up on some shit,
some wacky stuff. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like the best way to learn a language is to immerse yourself in the culture.
Yeah.
Now, here's my one question about this. No spoilers, obviously.
Yeah. What's going
but
on?
But is Richard? Yeah. Is Richard?
Yeah.
Dick Tremaine.
No.
Okay. I knew.
Did you?
I suspected it wouldn't be Dick Tremaine, the clown, the human clown.
The human clown. No, Dick Tremaine is not in The Return.
There's no, he has no business being here.
No, but he's got nothing to do 25 years later. He didn't really have much to do 25 years ago.
It's true. I would love to check in with him just to see what he's up to, but I understand.
Yeah, if he owns that department store yet, but or if he has like a little a menswear shop or something, like little storefront.
Yeah. And then this is something I could have followed up on easily myself, but the 430 thing, that's not the numbers that were on the poll in Firewalk with Me, right?
I don't
remember there was a 6 and then something else.
Yeah, there was like, there was the 6, which was bigger, and then there were the numbers above it. I don't think there was a 430.
Okay. Moving right along. We then get that scene with Dr. Jacoby.
Yep, Dr. Jacoby.
Mr. J.
Dr. J, please.
Skyhook from 3. Whoa, Skyhook from 3. That'd be crazy.
That would be. Dr. J has he's living in a trailer in the middle of the woods. He's no longer the tiki loving sort of bad psychiatrist in town, you know.
He is still wearing the glasses, though. Other glasses.
Yes.
Yeah. Make no mistake. Yeah. He's wearing like those sort of cataract surgery glasses, right? The like big sunglasses that go over your glasses.
Yeah, they're like the giant for like welding.
Yeah. And then he does like a Zucker Brothers style reveal to show that he's wearing glasses under his glasses.
It's funny.
It is. It's, of course, it's a classic gag. But yeah, that the aforementioned aesthetically pleasing flatbed truck pulls in.
Yes.
And he gets a delivery of shovels. Simple as.
Yep.
You hear some, you know, there's some light patter with the driver, Joe. He says, hey, Doc. We're calling him Doc, which is befitting because he's gone full old coot.
Yep.
And by the way,
yeah,
this is our second Russ Tamblyn in as many episodes.
I know, we just had a Russ.
It's an embarrassment
of Russ's. Yeah,
good to see him back where he belongs.
Yeah, back in Twin Peaks, doing something strange. Whatever he's up to with these shovels.
Strange. Let's say undetermined. There's always been a method to the bad doctor's madness.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're staying open. open-minded about all of it.
I think I trust
you're gonna,
this.
You're gonna like where it all goes.
Oh, good.
And from there, we go to New York City with, man, this shot of like
is so cool.
Yeah.
What makes it so cool?
I was trying to figure it out. I don't know if it's like everything is so lit up, like all of the high rises. It seems like all of their lights are on.
Yeah.
I don't know. There have been so many establishing shots of New York City at night, and like what makes this one especially cool? Don't know.
So my first question is, is it CGI?
I don't think so.
I didn't either. I think it's just like the particular distance above the buildings, which is like not very high.
Yeah.
But it seems like a wide lens where it's like it gives it almost that like fisheye feel.
Yes. Yeah.
And then also like what's that effect where like everything kind of looks miniature, like tilt shifting or whatever?
Oh, is yeah. What it is? Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It almost has that kind of feel to it where it's mm-hmm. like, you can just see so much in such detail that it yes. looks fake because of how good it looks.
I mean, that might be part of it, is that it's just like it's so high def.
Yeah.
That it's just like, this looks too real.
Something. And it honestly, it evokes like, this has come up once before. I think maybe also for like, maybe it was when we were talking about like Eraserhead or something, but like the like refineries outside of like the city where when you drive by those at night and you end up staring at them because they're lit up so spectacularly.
Yes.
And it's like dazzling. And, you know, obviously still don't know. I still don't know what yet, but there's an obvious theme with like electricity going on here. That was like a thing in Fire Walk With Me, especially.
Sure.
So to introduce New York City like that and then for what comes next makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So what comes next? We go into one of these buildings. We see a young man just sitting, staring at a glass box, large glass box. Like, looks like it's probably like 8x8x8 cube.
You know,
a box.
Cameras pointed at it every which way.
Yes.
And he's just sitting there staring at this box. And at a certain point, you hear a voice come over a loudspeaker system.
Yep.
It says camera 3. And he gets up and he pops the SD card out of camera 3.
Mm-hmm.
And again, deliberate pacing. But this is like, this is what's so good. It's like, I don't know what's going on at all. So I am hanging on every step to try to figure it out.
Yes.
And he crosses the room to a black safe with a red handle.
Mm-hmm.
Opens it up, pops the SD card in its correct place.
Yes.
Shuts that safe, walks down, walks back and sits down on the couch again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he just continues to stare at that box. So
until this really nice gal shows up.
Yes. This really nice gal named Tracy. And Tracy, she comes by. She brings 2 lattes. We also see that there's a security guard outside of this room.
A security guard with cauliflower ear in both ears. Like,
oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, man. This is such great cat, like David Lynch bit part casting.
Yes.
Right. We get a few like extremely distinctive looking people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are like made up that way a little bit. I'm talking about the people at that house, that shack.
Yep.
But this guy is like, what a face on this guy. My goodness.
Guy's got a face.
Hell of a face.
Hell of a face. Speaking of faces, this Tracy girl, huh?
Va-va-voom. Are you saying va-va-voom?
Well, first off, va-va-voom. Second off, she is So she's an actress. She's been around for a long time. Her two younger sisters are also actresses. Madeline Zima, is probably best known for Californication. She was on that
another
show.
Another Showtime original, or is that the HBO one?
No, it's
Showtime.
Showtime, okay. Baby. And then her younger sister Vanessa was in Yvonne.
Yvonne Zim, what a name.
Yvonne was in The Long Kiss Goodnight and Iron Man 3 and The Nice Guys. What do those all have in common? Shane Black. He became friends or whatever when she was a kid, and he casts her in his movies and stuff now.
How about that?
That's fun.
She also seeing here she was on ER playing a character named Rachel Green.
Hey.
That's unfortunate.
Why? Who's Rachel?
Well, isn't that Jennifer Aniston's character on Friends?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Think so.
We all know the Rachel, but I didn't know her last name was Green.
Yes. Well, I mean, at a certain point, it's Geller, isn't it?
Tracy brings a couple lattes for her and this boy.
Yes, with big Z's on them.
Yeah.
Right? Which is how you know that they're Russian.
Because
you don't remember that from the war that's still happening? That the Russian artillery and stuff was like more, their like tanks and stuff had Z's on them.
Oh, no. I didn't.
I don't know what it means, but they were doing that. Anyway. Okay. Just a little topical humor.
Yeah.
Ha ha. So yeah, she brings him a latte. They have this this conversation that makes it seem like they live in different universes.
Yeah. She says she's like, hey, can I come see like what you're doing? And he's like, no, it's top secret. I really can't. And the security guard's like, no.
Yeah.
And
they're like kind of goofing around in this like very stilted.
Yeah. Like, right. Stilted flirtiness.
Mm-hmm.
The both of them.
Although Sam seems like he's been staring at the box too long.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, it's like a very sort of, there's like a realism to, you know, when you like go all day by yourself and then you have to talk to someone, you're like, oh, shit, how's this go?
Yeah.
hello, Tracy. Yeah, it does kind of evoke that a little bit, because when she comes back the second time, like he's just being a relatively normal sort of Sam.
Yeah. No, definitely. So Sam is like, I got it. It was nice, Tracy. I appreciate it, but I got to get back in there, you know. Mm. And she's like, well, you can have both coffees then. And he takes them. And he's like, thanks, Tracy. And then he turns around and he's like punching in the code to get back into the room. And she's kind of doing the like
she's looking,
craning her neck to look. And he like looks back over his shoulder. Tracy, you are a bad girl.
And I'll be honest, I thought he was gonna kill her. That's the point in which I was like, this man might be a murderer.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know yet. And then we get a scene with some old friends here. Ben Horn.
Ben Horn.
And with his new secretary, Ashley Judd?
What the hell? I was gobsmacked when Ashley Judd walked in.
Totally.
Don't get me wrong. Happy to see her.
Of course.
Jerry.
Bah, bah, boom.
Yeah. Well, hey. Not as happy as Jerry Horn, who love this.
You
love this so much.
You love the where Jerry has ended up.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's like it's a little bit like Succession. Mm-hmm. The brother.
The oldest brother?
Not the
Connor?
No, no, no. The grandfather, the brother of his name?
Yeah, yeah. The guy from Babe.
Yes, he's an animal
James,
rights activist. McAvoy.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Cromwell. I
know James Cromwell. Yes. Yeah.
But that sort of thing where he's like, I'm Walt Whitman now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that I'm old, I'm Walt Whitman.
Yes.
But yeah, so we get just like a classic, pretty like classic Twin Peaks sort of like. The first 30 seconds of the scene has nothing to do with what happens after.
Right.
Yeah. There was a skunk in somebody's room.
Yeah.
And Ben Horn is telling Ashley Judd to give that person a refund.
Yes. Ashley Judd plays her name.
Beverly Page.
Beverly Page.
Once again, I mean, David Lynch remains batting 1,000 on naming characters.
Yeah. So she plays Beverly Page, Ben Horn's assistant. Ben Horn in a different office. At this office, I mean, they remodeled or something. Still has like sort of an escape door, but it's visible this time.
Yeah.
And
he's good now.
Now he's a good guy.
Now he's good.
And that's when Jerry like pops in and is it a cake or a cookie or something on his plate there?
Yeah, some kind of cake. And of course he's walking in like sort of like reciting a poem about how delicious this cake is. It's like sweet and salty and crumbly. And
yeah,
he's himself right away.
Yeah. And he's got this big white beard. And he's got like a vest and like a tie-dyed shirt and like this knit hat on. He looks great.
Yeah. And things have panned out for him the only way they could have possibly, which is that he owns a dispensary or like or whatever, you know, like a marijuana production.
Yes.
Illegal, an above board California style operation.
Right. Because Washington State was, I think, one of the first states to legalize recreational weed.
Excuse me, Washington style operation.
Just the fact that like he walks in, he's like, you know, all, you know, hippy dippied out, and Ben is still, you know, like suit and tie, and through their conversation, he's just like, yeah, you know, this like. We find out that the weed business is really where they're making all of their money, and the hotel is not.
It's like subsidizing this stupid hotel.
Yeah.
He says it's making three times the profit of the hotel or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Jerry says, like, he talks about Beverly and like, you know, have you, he says like, have you slept with her yet? And he's like, no, Jerry, she's a very nice woman and she's married. And Jerry's like, that never would have stopped you before.
He's good now.
He's good now. He's had many years to become good.
This is such an interesting version of Ben, I gotta say.
Yeah.
So much less like rapacious, so less conniving. And
yes.
Because even when he goes good in season two, it's still like, still got that dog in him. I should say that weasel. Like
yeah, the pine weasel.
Like, pun intended, but also just like, he's just like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still trying to be, he's trying consciously to be good. And he's like, my instinct is to destroy people, but I have to fight that instinct.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you, right? Like, Ben's whole deal versus Jerry's whole deal. Jerry just like kind of going with the flow his entire life and sort of stumbling into success at every turn.
Yes.
And the success looks different at different points. Sometimes you own a weed company. Other times you're right. you're bird dogging like Norwegian chicks. You got a head and a half on you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good place for us to take a little break.
Oh, sure.
So we're going to take a break. If
you know where to find us, yeah. You don't even got to tell them that they have to go to patreon.com/kingmepod. And so we won't.
So that's that.
Yeah.
All right. I will be right back.